Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Looking forward to this journey through Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that you can dial in at any time during the course of this broadcast. Ask your questions, join in the dialogue and discussion. We're delighted to have you. We're delighted to have you as our audience. This program is designed to run you, our listener, a question and answer broadcast, giving out the information and allowing you to have input, dialogue, and discussion on it. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have that dialogue and discussion with you. We look forward to it each and every day as we face the issues. In a moment, we're going to be talking about remembering 9/11. Remembering 9/11. It's a whole lot more to 9/11 than most would perhaps think. I believe we've forgotten 9/11, and we need to remember 9/11. In fact, there are memory services taking place now in New York, in the cornfield in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon. Even as we speak, we have been remembering 9/11 today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to seek truth. We need to entertain truth. We need to look forward to truth. We need to walk in truth and talk in truth. Only that's possible is staying in the Word of God. Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17, indicating, ladies and gentlemen, that the source book of and for truth is nothing other than the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I am happy today to tell you that this portion of broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries an entire line of equipment and brands like Honda for homeowners. They also carry the hurricane equipment, hurricane cleanup equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, it's right where the 165-foot flagpole stands with Old Glory flying 24/7. Look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the broadcast today and what has taken place back on 9/11 in 2001, I believe we need to sit and take pause and analyze where we are in America today and ask the question, have we really learned anything? Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall that this day in 2001, 9/11, 2001, was the day the Islamic jihadists flew airplanes into the World Trade Tower buildings, the Twin Towers. They flew a plane into the Pentagon and the cornfield in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, that plane that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, was aimed at the White House. The third plane would have destroyed the White House had it not been for a hero on board, and his name was Todd Beamer. Todd Beamer, as you recall, the putting together the pieces, the analysis of what had taken place, it was Todd Beamer that rallied several of the men on the airplane to rush the pilot's cockpit and to force the plane down rather than allowing it to make the turnaround that it was in the process of doing, head back into the crashing into the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, we look back on that with serious recollections. Let me just read to you the preface in a book. The book is entitled, Is Islam Tolerant? Had the privilege of publishing the book several years ago. The preface is written by Todd Beamer's daddy. Todd Beamer's daddy, his name is David L. Beamer. David Beamer, Beamer the father of Todd Beamer. The preface of the book reads like this, Is Islam tolerant? If you're unsure how to answer this question, then by all means read Dr. Gina Youngblood's book, Is Islam Tolerant? David Beamer goes on to say, once upon a time, I thought I had the answer to some of the most important questions. And then he outlines the questions. Is there an enemy who seeks to the utter destruction of our cherished way of life? Not for spoil of war, but to establish a global religion? Surely not. Is it possible for Americans to be apathetic to the point of selecting leaders who will be complicit as useful idiots? To enable the destruction of America's founding principles from within? Surely not. Could the sponsor of the coexist bumper stickers be part of the Islamic mafia using propaganda to confuse sheep to symbolize with their ever-increasing demands for speech and religious rights under Sharia law here in America? Surely not. Does a true Muslim believe in America have to renounce the Constitution and the Judeo-Christian basics of American rule of law? Surely not. Is the current call for the destruction of Islam coming out of Iran from a wacko leader part of a century-old quest? Surely not. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading the preface from my book, Is Islam Tolerant?, written by David Beamer, Todd Beamer, Flight 93, he wrote. He goes further to say, could the weakness of worshiping at the altar of political correctness enable an avowed enemy to infiltrate our institutions, our schools, our judiciary branch, and Congress, military, and churches? Surely not. Would a commander-in-chief sympathize with an avowed enemy of the Constitution, which he took an oath to uphold and defend? Surely not. Is there a religion that disguises itself as peaceful, but rallies preachers of death to all others as guiding principles for global dominance? Surely not. Would our son, Todd, rise up to fight back against the Islamic enemy and be killed in action as part of a victorious counterattack on September the 11th, 2001? Surely not. David Beamer goes on to say, now for me, all of these questions have been answered, but not in the way that my prior experience and understanding had suggested. The time for Americans to wake up and learn about an ever-present grievous threat to the United States of America is at hand. Read this book. It's not fiction. It is not to be ignored. It is not a work that has an ending, happy or sad. It is about what America can continue to be, or what may become of the ending for the Americans, that America that we have been blessed to have for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Signed, David L. Beamer, father of Todd Beamer, 9/11/01, Flight 93. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Beamer's dad is a patriot. Todd Beamer's dad understands the truth of the dangers of Islam. He understands it firsthand. But ladies and gentlemen, we lost over 3,000 Americans on that day. 18 years ago. 18 years ago today, America was thrust into an open war with the Islamic jihadists. To the West, America did not cause the war. We did not expect the attack. But for a few years now that have passed, I believe we've forgotten the Islamic jihadist war that we're in. The West and America did not cause it. We did not expect it. But for several years now, we have fought the Islamic jihadists in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places. Let me just give you the timeline, ladies and gentlemen, for that event, 9/11/2001. It was at 8:46 a.m. the North Tower was struck. 9:03 a.m. the South Tower was struck. 9:37 a.m. the Pentagon was struck. 9:59 a.m. the South Tower collapsed. 10:07 a.m. Flight 93 crashes in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, in a cornfield. 10:28 a.m. the North Tower collapses. And now, ladies and gentlemen, 18 years later, we have memorial services this morning. World Trade Center, where 3,000 names will be recalled. Those who died there on 9/11 in 2001. The Pentagon, where former President Bush will today lay a wreath in memory of those that died. Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where Vice President Pence today will attend a memorial service. Ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. What have we learned in 18 years about the Islamic jihadist war against the West? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
I appreciate Hello? The fact that, yes, I'm here with you. Are you here?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yes, I'm kind of floored by the fact in 18 short years, it seems like, though we keep saying never forget, we've forgotten so much. We have an entire generation that has now arisen since 9/11 that seem to not know what took place in real terms. You know, the fact that these 19 Islamist terrorists conducted this this plot. It seems like we have even pastors and spiritual leaders, if you will, that are disconnected. Years ago, after 9/11, I think it rose to some significance in 2011, 2012. Rick Warren began his Chrislam stuff, where he started pulling a some sort of an argument that Christianity and Islam are sister religions, that somehow or another we worship the same God. And you have believers. I mean, that's a huge church, that Saddleback Community Church. You have believers that actually bought that lie. You have believers that assume that, you know, we're all in this happy family together. You have folks like Russell Moore with the ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberties Council or Commission, that have stepped out in defense of Islam, not realizing it is a, Salman Rushdie got it right when he said, wrote the satanic verses. You know, he so many have gotten it right when they've identified it as a horrible religion, completely incompatible with Christianity, completely incompatible with the U.S. Constitution. Why is it in 18 short years we have forgotten so much, and even again, these leaders are stepping out, completely perverting the true history of what took place and what continues to take place across America and around the world with an aggression on the part of Islamists toward Christians, toward America, toward Israel, toward anything that smacks of decency?
The thing that so... I'm glad that you have brought those subjects up. In fact, I'm holding in my hand my book, 320 pages, 25 chapters. One of the chapters deals with quotes from men of yesteryear and men of renown and what they've said about Islam. Dr. Jerry Vines, for example, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said Muhammad was a demon-possessed pedophile. Dr. Mark Gabriel, former professor of Islamic studies at Al Jazeera University in Cairo, Egypt. Islam is evil, evil, very evil, wicked, very dangerous. You have a statement, perhaps I have all of them. I've got several here. Winston Churchill said, "How dreadful are the curses which Muhammadism," and that's what it was called before it was called Islam, it's Muhammadism, "lays at its Voltaires. Individual Muslims may show splendid qualities, but the influence of the religion paralyzes the social development of those who follow it. No stronger retrograde force exists in all of the world. One of the statements that was made by Sheikh al-Dirir, jihad is for liberation of all Muslims around the world. When we succeed in this part, we will move to other parts until we ensure only Allah is worshipped in all the world. That's the statements made throughout my book, Is Islam Tolerant, 25 chapters. I validate what Islam is. But Greg, one of the things that I see, and you touched on it so very well, I believe we've really forgotten, though each year we have the memorial service saying, never forget. We're teaching today our kids in public schools across America Islam. The history books in American public schools, 5th grade through 12th grade, you find more written in a positive sense about Islam than you find written about Jesus Christ or about Judaism or about Christianity in any fashion. We're in trouble because we have forgotten. In fact, an ex-CIA counterterrorism officer named Gabriel, 18 years after 9/11, he says, we cannot forget our never again promise. And he goes on with a long dissertation. It's about 5 pages. Time won't allow it to be read, but I'll just read some introduction points from it. Published today, September 11th, by Fox News, Daniel Gabriel. 18 years ago this week, radical Islamic terrorists hijacked 4 airplanes and used them as weapons of mass destruction. They killed nearly 3,000 people in an attack, symbols of American power and homogeny. Confronted by a new threat, an unfamiliar enemy, but united in the aftermath of the tragedy, Americans steeled themselves for war and the sacrifice that would come. They vowed never again. Only a generation later, the fighting drags on, unsolved, unresolved, and with no clearly defined end state. The conflict has devolved into a state of infinite, indefinite war. In Iraq, Christians and other minorities face persecution by Islamic State, ISIS holdouts, who continue to wage an insurgency to reclaim their former caliphate in Mosul. The 5,000 U.S. troops who remain in the country to mitigate the threat are becoming the force of Iranian ire through Tehran's proxies, the Shia militants. And he goes on and on and talking about what's happening today in Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And it seems as though we do not have the will to win. And here's another article that says Islam's long war on the West. And what most are not aware of, Greg, is that most of the major attacks by Islam on a national or international basis, they've done the attacks on a special date for them, and that's on September the 11th. September the 11th, 1565. September the 11th, 1683. September the 11th, 1697. September the 11th, 2001. And I could go on and on with the attacks by Islam. And yet, Greg, I don't understand it. I cannot rationally understand what is in the minds of our political leaders and our spiritual leaders across America. There's Rick Warren that you spoke of. He teaches Chrislam. He says Islam and Christianity are sister religions. Rick Warren says that Allah is the same God of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I've studied the Quran, and I can show you in the Quran where they laugh at that. In fact, in the Quran, they say that Allah had no wife. So if he didn't have a wife, how could he have a son? And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, in Islam, they deny Jesus Christ's deity. They deny Jesus Christ's virgin birth. They deny that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Islam denies that Jesus Christ was crucified. They reject the fact that he was resurrected. It is not the same God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of the Bible. And Allah was the moon god of the 7th century, selected by Muhammad and worshipped today by about 1.5 billion Islamics around the globe. And it is not a peaceful religion, Greg. And yet we have those saying that we need to never forget. I believe the real question is, do we really remember? Do we remember the tragedy? Do we remember the lost lives? Do we remember the ruthlessness of the enemy? Do we remember our pledge to never forget?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we, you know, it's not just that single event. You go back through the history from the beginnings of that seventh century death cult. And not only Muhammad's story, of course, Muhammad is interesting because he's portrayed as the perfect man, of course, a perfect man within Islam to be emulated. You know, you're to seek to be like him. However, he was a murderous thug everywhere he went. You know, folks died, folks were raped, folks were subjugated, folks were, you know, that this was a story of his life. You know, so that person that said he was a demon-possessed pedophile, that fits the man. You know, that may be offensive to some, but, you know, if the truth offends, let it offend.
That's right.
But I'd like to see this generation out of, you know, not just of kids coming up, but this generation of pastors take a stand and call things as they are, identify properly, first off, Islam and Christianity are incompatible. You rightly articulated the fact that Allah and God are not the same, and that you know, if Allah is elevated to the position where he is equal with the God of the Scriptures, we got a real problem. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's an exclusive platform. And he says, "No man comes unto the Father but by me," yet Islam completely denies the Jesus Christ with deity of the Scripture, the Jesus Christ that died on the cross, the Jesus Christ that arose again. When those things are denied, there's no compatibility. There's no equivalency. I have problems when Russell Moore chooses to spend, now this is back in 2016, chooses to spend dollars that are intended for the cause of Christ to produce an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, defend mind that will never happen. The reverse, you know, you will not see Islamic groups into the defense of Christians, whether they be Christian businesses or Christian churches. You go throughout the Middle East, and every country that's dominated by Sharia law, Christians are subjugated, churches are non-existent. The notion that here, where a Christian nation, a Christian
Ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry for the technical difficulties. That's the beauty of technology, that you never know when you're going to have a problem with it. We apologize for that. Greg, are you still there? Evidently, we lost our caller. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is never forget, always remembering. Remembering 9/11 as to what has taken place 18 years ago. And the one that was the mastermind, ladies and gentlemen, behind 9/11 is still in prison in Gitmo, as it is called. Been there 18 years. They've just set his trial date for 2021. Can you imagine that? 2021, 20 years after the event, his trial. And yet his attorneys have been filing, they filed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pages of briefs in the courts. He will be tried in a military tribunal. But he's been there now 20 years in prison waiting for trial. In fact, he admitted his guilt and said he wanted to be put to death so he could go to be with Allah, because that's the way an Islamic goes to paradise, is by carrying out jihad. That is killing the Jew or non-believer, every non-believer. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the duty of every Muhammad, every Muhammadist, every Muslim, every jihadist, to put to death anybody, everybody that's non-Muslim. In fact, in the Quran, the scripture is very clear. It says in Surah 3151, "We shall cast terror in the hearts of those who are non-Muslims." Surah 2191, "And kill all non-believers wherever you find them, kill them. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers," that is non-Muslims. Surah 2193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2:216. Jihad, that is holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. Surah 3:85. Whoever seeks religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted. Surah 4:56. Those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4:101. To the disbelievers, non-Muslims, to every one of you, we're your open enemies. Surah 4:102. Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for those non-Muslims. Surah 8:39. Fight them, all non-believers, until there's no more disbelief in Islam. Surah 8:55. The most moving, living creature before Allah are those who disbelieve, those that are non-Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on. Those are surahs, that's verses, if you will, right out of the Quran. But our previous caller, Greg, had said something about it. It's a shame that we do not take a stand, and the Christians do not take a stand, realizing that Islam is antithetical to anything that's called biblical Christianity. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, there are Christians across America today that embrace Islam and think that somehow, some way, we should be tolerant, we should embrace them and love them. Listen, we need to love even the enemy, but we need to hate the sin. We should hate the ideology of Islam, but love them and understand that they're blinded, and understand that they are right now, they have a goal today of destroying all of the Western world. And that is the word Islam. It means submission. It's to bring everyone into submission. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we've forgotten. The real question, as I said earlier, is do we really remember? Do we remember the tragedy? Do we remember the lost lives? Do we remember the enemy? Do we remember the pledge to never forget? It is possible, I believe, for another, even more serious attack from the Islamic jihadists. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we seem to be too afraid, too weak, too tolerant to face the Islamic enemy and say never again. Today, we put Islamic jihadists in the U.S. House of Representatives. We have today Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib in the U.S. House of Representatives. Ladies and gentlemen, in the U.S. House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi had the rules and the regulations for head coverings changed, modified, that had been in effect for some 200 years, simply to allow these two Islamic jihadists to wear head coverings that's dominant in the Islamic religion. It's a wonder they don't have full burqas on in the House of Representatives, but that's being allowed today. But ladies and gentlemen, both of these women, Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib, both of them hate America, openly are un-American, anti-American, hate Islam, and hate all Jews. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, both were sworn, these two women, U.S. House of Representatives, both were sworn in on the Quran, not the Bible, on the Quran. Why is that so? They are in swearing in to office on with their hands on the Quran. They're swearing an oath to Allah, not to America, not to God, not to the United States Constitution, not to our Bill of Rights, not to our rule of law, but to Allah, the moon god of the Bedouins of the 7th century. That's who they're swearing an oath to. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not the Bible. They're swearing an allegiance to not the Constitution, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility for an Islamic jihadist to be faithful to the U.S. Constitution and the American rule of law, because their allegiance is to Allah, to the Quran, and to the jihad and the destroying of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you realize it or not, but after 9/11, the Pentagon was charged with the responsibility of doing an investigation and determine what caused these 19 people to come in against America and do the attack. And September 7, 2006, the Pentagon determined that it was because of the Quran. They believed in the Quran, they practiced the Quran, and that was the cause. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a one-minute break for news. Come back with you in just about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn the dial. Be right back after the news break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.